be contained. When I was little, one of my most popular fun summertime activities, as I imagine most of us had, was to catch lightning bugs on a summer night. There was something about the sweet smell of grass and burnt out charcoal and fireflies that was magic. And lightning bugs are super easy to catch, but their light is impossible to keep. We all know that once you get that mason jar closed with the lid on tight and the bug inside, as many holes as you punch in the top, that it's not going to be a very good morning unless your parents let those little bugs out before you go to bed. Light cannot be contained. I suppose you could kill the firefly light by killing the lightning bug, or kill light by putting a fire out or turning off a light switch, but you really can't contain it at all. As someone who likes to sleep in the darkest of darks, I'm constantly aware of my fight against lightness. I've been known to put towels in at the bottoms of doors in hotel rooms or retreat centers so that the light doesn't come in. You go into my bedroom, there are little cardboard pieces of paper all over things which give off light at night, like air filters and thermostats. You can't contain light. It's everywhere. It seeps through in the darkest of places. In today's gospel, the Transfiguration, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up to a high mountain. Right after he predicts his death, right after Jesus shares with him that he is on his way to Jerusalem and he will suffer and be crucified, buried and raised from the dead, he takes his friends to the mountain where he's transfigured before them and where they see his true nature, which is that of light. It calls to mind John's descriptions of Jesus, such as the beginning of John, which says that through which all things came into being, and what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Or John's description as Jesus as the light of the world, and Jesus saying that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there, Peter, James, and John on top of that mountain saw Jesus shining like the sun, being like a lamp, bright, face shining, clothes sparkling, illuminating like a fire or a star or a lamp. They saw and experienced Jesus' true nature, which is light. And for some of us, this experience is impossible to imagine, this profound experience of grace and light and love streaming down beyond comparison or explanation. For others of us, it's a very real experience. For there are some in this room who have experienced this illuminance through visions or through experiences of grace which have washed over us, or waves of peace, or an experience with the divine which was too beautiful or too sacred or too extraordinary to explain by words. We, like Peter, James, and John, struggle to speak about our true experience with the divine, simply calling it perhaps light. Now, I imagine all of us, whether we have experienced this profound transcendence of God or not, resonate with Peter's desire to build the three dwelling places. In my mind, it's sort of like containing the light, to memorialize and cherish and honor the manifestation of God, to stay up on the mountain forever, to want to bask in the light, to keep it, to contain it. I think we have a natural tendency to hold on to the light when we experience it, which is why I think we do our best as humanly possible to protect whatever our mountaintop is. If we've had a mountaintop experience in a service or a particular liturgy or a particular building or a particular camp and conference center, or at a particular place in our daily schedule, or during a particular song, whatever it is that helps us to experience this mountaintop transcendent experience of God, We, like Peter, I think, do our best to build a dwelling place to try to contain it. For if surely we have it, then the light will return. Now, in our own community, we've been having what I have deemed as St. Patrick's storage wars. Some people are laughing. Conflict in this community follows themes. And the theme for conflict at this particular juncture in our place is storage war. Who gets storage? Where do we put things? Where do things belong to? Where does all the stuff that we need for worship from the preschool and altar guild and choir and acolytes and myself, because I live here, and the food box ministries and the hospitality, where does it all go? We have very limited space, and I am sympathetic to that. I live in it every day. I have exactly 1.5 closets in my apartment, and none of them are walk-in. But on a personal level, and for this community, this wondering has sort of been in my head. So here's my wondering. How much of my own personal storage and our church's storage is because we are trying to contain the light? Is if only we keep that one thing that was really special to worship or that one piece of music that was really special to us, and if we keep it in a box, then maybe Jesus will come up and show up again on top of the mountain. I think about myself. I have this little one piece of confetti that I recently threw away. It's a tiny piece of confetti. It came from a concert in which I had a tremendously extraordinary experience. And it's almost as if I kept that little piece of confetti that I would have that tremendously extraordinary experience again. When in fact, the confetti had nothing to do with that. Or I think about candles, which I keep, or pieces of art, or things from particularly moving prayer services that I've kept over the years. And sometimes I think about my own life. If I just build more places, more containers, more boxes, more knickknacks, more keepsakes, like surely Jesus is going to show up in exactly the same way. If we protect our places and our conference centers and our worship spaces and our service times and our favorite priests and our people and our places and all of our mountaintops of any kind, then surely Jesus will continue to show up in exactly the same way. If only we could find more boxes and containers and homes and storage units and file folders and closets, then surely Jesus will keep dwelling among us. These are the wonderings going on in my head. And then I read today's gospel, which says, while Peter was still speaking, while Peter was trying to figure out how to build houses and containers to keep God in, suddenly the light of God appeared again, interrupting him, bringing a cloud, engulfing Peter, speaking again. God speaks again and shows up in this transcendent, splendid light again, as if to say, y'all, refocus on what's important. The light, not the containers. As if to say, remember that experience that you had a while back, like 5 minutes ago, that was so transcendent and amazing and splendid and extraordinary that you couldn't explain it. Here it is again in the form of a cloud and a bright light. Refocus. Listen to Jesus. Follow him. And the disciples pause long enough to remember and long enough to experience. And they fall to the ground with love and fear and awe and amazement. And then Jesus says to Peter and to us, get up and do not be afraid. And then he's down the mountain. He's down the mountain healing people on his way, doing what Jesus does, offering grace and love, because you cannot contain the true nature of Jesus, the true nature of light. As sure as Jesus shows up to show himself to us in light and splendor and extraordinary experience, he's already down the mountain doing that for somebody else. Gone on. Get up to us, he says. Do not be afraid. Get down the mountain. Let's get going. You are the light of the world, and let your light shine. And that light cannot be contained. This weekend, several St. Pat's folks gathered for the 121st Convention of the Diocese of Lexington. We did all sorts of things. I think David's going to speak a little bit. I'll speak a little bit more later. We voted on committees and updates. We heard updates from the standing committee. We were reminded that we're searching for a bishop, and we're doing so very prayerfully and slowly, so that we're not going to have a new bishop tomorrow, but instead we're going to do so with intention and prayer. We prayed over our shared ministries together, and we looked for signs of light and transformation. I figure those signs of light are probably not going to be within old containers in either our diocese or at St. Patrick's. For light has been contained and Jesus has moved on. We spent some time with Presiding Bishop Michael Curry via video, and I was struck. I'd never thought about this before, that whenever you watch our Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, he's almost always on the move. His videos aren't in churches. They're outside on the streets of New York. And he is almost always walking and moving forward. And at the end of the day, all 250 of us gathered and we anointed each other with oil. And we reminded ourselves that at our baptism, we received the light. And we were marked as Christ's own forever to go into the world and serve. And I noticed that as we left, all 250 foreheads glistened a little bit brighter with oil and the light of Christ on them as folks went out to bear light and love to the world. Those 250 people could not be contained as the light of a lightning bug or a dark room cannot be contained. The light of Christ cannot be contained. Whether it's in mason jars or the dark sky or dark rooms, the light of Christ shines brilliantly around us. So let us go forth from this place with the disciples down the mountain to let our light shine and to follow Jesus.